All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is Bruce Mead. The time is 5 o'clock, and I would like to call to order the June 12th, 2025 meeting of the Parks, Rec, and Open Space Advisory Board being held at the City Council Chambers and confirm that a quorum is present. Regular members present, David Clark, Bruce Mead, Luann Malnery, Mohammed Al-Hindi. Alternates are Osceola Henderson and Todd Royal. Your alternate still, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, got it right. Let's see. And as a reminder, actually, all of the alternates are at the table, so we do have a full quorum. Do we have anyone to speak on agenda items from the public? No one from the public. Very good. We'll now move to our first order of business, item 25-2870, minutes of the Parks, Rec, and Open Space Advisory Board meeting of May 8th, 2025. Do we have a motion to approve this item?
I'll motion to approve. Osceola Henderson.
And a second?
I did.
Luann Malnery, thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. We'll now move to item number 25-2871, Director's Report, Amy Kincaid presenting. And I should have mentioned that our liaisons in attendance are Patrick Cloutier, Councilman, and Joy Booth, MCDC. Thanks for being here.
Make it official and stand up here. Amy Kincaid, Director of Parks and Rec. Excited to see you all here this evening. I just wanted to go through some verbal updates. There's no formal presentation. One of the first items that I would like to point out is in front of you, you'll have a presentation that was presented at work session. And it was just funding sources, including MCDC, to maybe clarify some of the different funding sources, but also all of the projects. So please review that, and I encourage you to go back to listen to and watch the council meeting on that evening. But overall, just wanted to make sure that you had the information that was provided to council at the work session on June the 3rd. You might have seen, you might have heard, we have goats. We have 300 goats that are now target grazing. They were delivered last Monday. Last Monday at Bonnie Wink. They have been very busy, so if you've been by there. One of a funny story to share, the storms, the first set of storms that rolled through, we weren't so sure how the electric fence was going to go. Was it sturdy enough? So we took the opportunity to walk them across, and overnight we closed the dog park, so we had 300 goats in our dog park. And I have a really bad joke, which I won't share at this point, but let me know after the meeting. I'm sure then happy to share that with you. They are still at Bonnie Wink. We'll be migrating down Wilson Creek. The ending point will be at Al Rushoff Soccer 2. But you can go by Bonnie Wink near the dog park to see the before and after photos. But it is amazing what the goats do. We did encounter some floods on Sunday evening. Everyone was safe. The goats were safe. The handler and the dog were all safe. So happy to report that. Also, the executive team, we went over to City of Plano, just CMO and some of the different departments. I was able to go over there and meet with the director of Parks and Rec and his team members just to hear what they do great, what they have historically done, what they're doing now since they've gone through the growth period, what they're doing now to maintain and renovate what they built 25 years ago as we're planning for the future. So we'll be hosting them back probably in August, but we did get a call from the assistant director over the parks, and he's coming to check out the goats on Monday. So everyone's intrigued in how that works and looks, so we'll have some guests from other cities coming next week. We had a great Memorial Day event, thanks to Marty and the, sorry, And the McKinney Armed Services Memorial Board, we had our board meeting last night, and hands down, they said that that was one of the best yet. So just want to thank the team for all that they did on that. Some updates on Apex. Their daily scans are up close to 1,800 on average. That is significantly increased over the previous 5 years. The average is usually about 800 to 900. So if you go in there, you will see a very packed house in there. So their first event to kick off the summer was the birthday bash. They anticipated about 600 and over 800 showed up. So if that tells you anything, summer camps have been full, which is great to report. One of the new things that we added this year, because we saw a lot of people buying memberships just for the summer, but we didn't have a summer pass, so it took a lot of staff time to open up a membership and close it or freeze it at the end of the summer. So we identified a need for a summer pass from May, pretty much May to September. I'm happy to report that we have signed up over 700 in this summer pass. This time last year, we had a total of 611 new memberships that opened around May into their membership at September. So I think that we'll continue seeing this trend. It was a test market just to see how it did, and it's doing great. Stonebridge HOA is going to, they've started using the pool again with the their pool being out of commission. And so to date, as of last week, we had 135 passes since Memorial Day. So they are utilizing that, which is great to see. It's a great partnership with them. Old Settlers Rec Center, they have a full camp, which is 30 folks. They also have adventure and sports camps that are also full, so they're moving in a groove in the summer. And then also last summer, Adaptive Swim Program. They are really trying to pipe into the Adaptive Program to those both of all ages, kids, adults, and they had over 50 people at Gilda Garcia Pool, so it was exciting to see that. It's a first-time event. That is all I have, and I'll stand for any questions. I know we'll have Kara give an update on events, the upcoming events, and then, of course, the IP projects. But just wanted to give you a quick update, but happy to answer any questions.
So this is Bruce. Just two questions on Apex. So it's up 1,000 swipes a day. What was the number again that you said?
It was 1,800, and on average it was closer to 1,200. Misspoke
to
on that.
1,200 so on a daily basis, yeah, that's swiping in
on
600.
Average.
Wow, up 50%. And then the Stonebridge, that's because the beach club is closed for renovation, so they have access to the Apex
mm-hmm.
pool.
We worked a group discount for them. We started it towards the end of last summer, and they inquired about it, and we want to be good partners with the Stonebridge HOA.
Got it, thank you. Any other questions for Director Kincaid? Seeing none, thank you. We'll move to item number 25-2872, update on capital improvement projects. Presenting is Ms. Yount.
Good evening, Jill Yount, Parks Planning Manager. First off, I want to give you an update on our staffing. And currently, we have just promoted Dakota Cryer and April Butler as the Parks Construction Project Coordinator. Parks Planning Construction Planners open, and we have actually offered 3 people on those. So we're waiting to hear on that. So hopefully by mid-July we'll be fully staffed. We're excited to hear about that. And then, so we also wanted to give you an update on our budget process. So currently, this kind of shows you the overall budget that we have submitted to our finance department, and it's these are all of our current projects, and it kind of breaks it down to what's bond money, MCDC funding, parkland dedication, grants, contributions, and then general fund, which we typically don't get general fund, but the two projects that are in there are actually for our facilities. The big thing I wanted to show you is that we have the whole budget is $167 million. And then there's a column that's encumbered. And it's $60 million, which means that that's either encumbered or it's already spent. So our remaining budget right now is $106 million. And then to elaborate a little bit further, so our new funding for this year that we're adding to our budget, we're going to be requesting $8 million from MCDC. And then there's $1.6 million that will be Parkland dedication. And median escrow, just under $500,000. In the general fund, that is for the Apex elevator replacement and new elevator that goes in. So that's general fund we typically don't have, but it will be in our budget this year. So a total of $9.8 million. And to break that down even further with the MCDC request, we're going to be requesting $3 million for the Irwin Park. And these are slides that y'all saw during the original the joint meeting. $2 million for Al Rushaw. And we've got $2.8 million for Old Settlers. And then trail wayfinding, we're going to have $100,000. And we're going to try to mimic, I'm sure y'all have seen the signs that have gone up around town. We're going to try to mimic those within our trail system. And then $100,000 for accessibility. Marty has a great program where he goes in and he shaves where we've got tripping hazards on all of our trails. And so we will continue with that program. And then here's just an overall sheet of that breakdown that we'll be requesting from MCDC. And these are some key dates. Our MCDC application is June 30th. And then in July, we will take presentations to MCDC. August, they will actually vote an award notification in August, and then in September is when City Council will approve our budget. So as Jenny had mentioned before, that this next year is going to be heavy on construction. So I kind of put a slide together of all the projects that we are going to be working on this year, the large projects. So the McKinney Soccer Complex is currently under construction. And the Gabe practice field has already bid out, so that's why they're in green. But then all of these projects are going to be in construction this year, and that's $87 million, pretty large number. Just kind of give you an idea. And then this is the overall map that I had shown before of all of our different projects. And with that, I'll stand for any questions. Greg and Scott.
I just want to add, I know we're excited to have the promotions of Dakota in April. We have three planners coming on board. One of the reasons, typically it would only be two planners, but with talking with finance and to city manager's office, we knew that there was a importance to find someone just dedicated to work on CDC projects. So we were able to add an additional position that will be focused on the larger program projects such as Town Lake, the trail system and stuff. So this will help expedite all of those projects. So April will be that person. So we're super excited. She's the one that's been working on Town Lake. She's done a great job and think that that's a great fit. So excited to hopefully be able to push these projects at a quicker pace, having that concentrated effort. So just want to make that clear.
This is Bruce. Thank you. So a couple questions. What is the funding, $467,000 from median escrow? What does that mean?
So we collect median escrow fees whenever a development comes in. We have to landscape and irrigate those medians. Gotcha. So any development that comes in, Dakota tracks all of that, and we collect those fees, and then we go and make projects on those streets.
Got it. Okay. And we saw funding for the soccer complex. I just heard that the base camps for World Cup are kind of set. We were trying to get one of those. Is that right? but we obviously weren't successful.
So we were working with Empowered IQ on some type of lease agreement for the property adjacent to Craig Ranch Soccer between Empowered and Star Center. We worked 5 to 6 months, and that effort failed. So we were never able to have a signed, executed lease agreement with them to move that forward. So we will not have a team here. The good news is, though, with all of the games and all of the teams, we will have an economic impact just having 9 games here locally. So there will be an economic impact, but we will not be hosting a team in 26.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you.
All right, we'll move to item number 25-2873, update on special events, presenting Kara Harding.
Hello, everyone. I am Kara Harding, the special events specialist, and we've got a lot going on. Actually, what I'm special events supervisor, I don't even know my title, but I don't think it really matters. But what I can tell you is we're having so much fun and getting everything ready. Let's see here. All right. Our first big event is this Saturday. Hopefully y'all have heard of it and are aware of what we're doing. So we have spent some time just trying to, you know, take it to the next level. We've only had about a couple of months really to kind of work on this. So hopefully over the next few years, you're going to see us just trying to keep taking our events and taking our events to other level. What we've done so far is we started with a real overall campaign of a branding look that's consistent, whether it's in print or social media or decor. This is our logo, if you will, and you're going to see this just kind of on everything. We've also got a lot of fun activities I'm going to tell you about and attractions. We're excited about the vendors and partnerships that we have going. To start with, this is our branding look for this year. This is the flyer. The committee received this polo, which we're kind of really proud of. It's just a nice lightweight polo with a new logo. And then we will be giving away 2,000 fans. We'll be giving away stickers with this same look. And then as part of Parks and Recreation Month, which we're going to talk about in a minute, we're giving away, and I'm sorry I don't have a good picture, nor did I bring a sample, but you will see them. Cooling rags with a Parks and Rec sublimation, but we will give those away also at July 4th and during Parks and Rec Month, and they are really, really cool. A real pretty blue and a green for Amy for UNT. Some of the activities that we're going to have going back to Juneteenth, a bubble bus, you know, face painting, of course, a photo booth with props and that kind of thing. And really, y'all, what we're wanting to do, we didn't do the bouncy castles and that kind of thing because they get hot and they take up a lot of real estate. We're asking people to really focus on our pretty parks with the splash pads and the playground and just get out and play while you're there. And we're hoping that people will really take advantage of that. So one of the things we're really, really excited about is we've added a drone show. It's a choreographed show with 200 drones. It's 12 minutes and 43 seconds, and that includes the launch and the fly back down. We have 3 bands. Ariel Campbell, who performed last year with her church, and this year she's bringing her band, Soulful Sounds, and then Top is our marquee performer. We also are opening, of course, with Dr. Jeray Feltus, Mayor Pro Tem Feltus, with a proclamation, and then the Lift Every Voice and Sing, as well as the National Anthem. So that will be the opening ceremonies. Just to show you a few things going on, we have a wide variety of vendors and food. I think we've hit almost every genre in the savory category, as well as the sweets, you know, the ice cream, the Dole Whip, and snow cones. So I think it's a really lovely variety of anything anybody would ever want. Marketplace vendors also, that range from some local businesses, League of Women Voters, that sort of thing. Collin College is going to be there. And then the newest partnership that we have this year, which we're really hoping is going to work out, and I've seen them at a couple of different events, is the Children's Entrepreneur. And they have 56 kid vendors coming out. It's going to be real fun watching Lowdown. So if I were y'all, I'd make sure you get there after 4. 56 young ones and their parents. But they've got some cool things, candles, bookmarks, things that these kids have created themselves, and they're very proud of it and looking forward to it. So that, I think, is going to be a lot of fun. So that kind of wraps up what we're doing for Juneteenth. Of course, I'll answer any questions if you have it, but wanting to move on into July is Parks, National Parks and Recreation Month. We are going to try to incorporate many things, but one of the most exciting ones, which I'm sure our Parks Development team has kept you up on, is we are doing the official ribbon cutting for E.A. Randall's Park. We will send you information on that, but it is going to be Saturday morning, or maybe they already have it, Saturday morning, July 12th at 9 a.m., and we're excited to focus on that as part of our Parks and Recreation, Parks and Recreation Month, and the theme is Build Together, Play Together. So again, going back to that theme of really making our world about play. And here's some of the exciting features of that new park. Some of the things that we are going to have going on during Parks and Recreation Month from our various facilities include the dive-in movie night at the Apex and Hawaiian night as well, and then Red, White, and Boom. So nice transition into this event this year. So some of the things that you probably already know is that we have changed locations. There's some new things about the fireworks show, and we have a very interesting new concert. So dwelling in on that, we are marketing the new location as Town Lake Park, and that is true. The fireworks are going to, in fact, the barge began the installation today. The fireworks are going to shoot off of a barge from the middle of Town Lake, and what's so cool about that is we're going up to a 5-inch shell off of that barge, but then back behind it are the 1.4G proximate, so they're very tightly choreographed when they shoot. So sometimes with the bigger shells, you can't really tell if they're synced to the music. They always tell you they are, but in fact, it's like, are they really? But the proximates are. Like, you'll be able to see when they shoot, they really are tightly choreographed to the music. So that's pretty cool. And anyway, that's what's going on there. So across the street in the Field of Dreams, a 10-acre field that we are transforming. Here's another picture of where the barge is going to go. Across the street, then, is where we're transforming this field. Again, a children's area that's scaled back a little more to interactive as opposed to the bouncy castles. Food vendors up and down Graves, but really a bigger focus on the band before we go into the fireworks. The band is Big City Outlaws, and they usually are primarily country, but because they're playing a 3.5-hour show, they are also throwing in a lot of cover, top 40, that kind of thing. They have a fiddle. They're about a 10-piece member band, so they're going to be pretty good. Okay, well, that's what I've got.
Good. Thank you, Kara. Any questions?
Location on the Juneteenth? Where
yes, thank you. Great question. It's at Finch Park.
Finch, okay.
Yes. And it starts at 4 o'clock. This Saturday, and we are going to miss the rain because it's going to stop at 4.
That's right. Thank you.
Good. Any other questions?
Thank you. Yes. This is Luann. Sorry. So when you said across the street from Town Lake in the field, what field's across
the
street?
So it's a field adjacent to McKinney High School parking. That's a great question, and sorry I wasn't clear. So Town Lake, the lake is here where the barge is going. And you go back across.
You mean the sports field? On the north side, next to the lake.
On the north side. Mm-hmm. So then we come across Wilson Creek Parkway, and there's a street that separates McKinney High School called Graves, and then there's the 10-acre field that's being transformed. Literally, we parking, there's the old cinema that's now a church, so that's one parking. We're calling that entrance two. Entrance one is all the McKinney High School parking, and then we're running up and down Graves for a little while, shuttles from the churches all up and down there, and that's entrance three, and that's that. Maybe we got a lot of parking. We really do. And then we're also doing off-site parking at the, which I should have mentioned that, at Collin County appraisal, where they charge you a lot of taxes. But and we have three shuttles, actual coaches, running from there because this event is so large. And I want to go back and tell you that for Juneteenth, we are also running not the large coaches, but shuttles. We're trying to push the parking out to the appraisal district as well as the senior center and continually run. They're all ADA compliant shuttles because that park is a little bit tight for parking and we have so many vendors. So same thing. So we're running those shuttles all day long to try to make that park a little bit more friendly when people get there and get people in.
Okay. Sorry, I have one more question.
Yes, of course.
Are there going to be any lifeguards at this event? Because it's going to be dark, and there's going to be a lot of kids, and there's a big body of water.
Yes, ma'am. So, again, great question. What we're doing right now is it will be completely fenced off because it is a safety fallout zone all around it. Still may be something to consider, but it's a 6-foot-tall fence with windscreen on it. Not to say that they couldn't try to break in. Yeah. It's the fallout zone, you know, you have to do it. So I can't remember, we're coming up, I guess, close to that. It's past the first barge, you know, the dock that's already there, we're coming up, then we're going all the way across. Is that street park? And then going back around behind in front of that creek, all the way along that sidewalk, and then cutting back over again. So it's a lot of fence, it's a significant amount of fence. And the event is not over there. You know, it's all across the street. Not to say that people won't try. They might. I mean, they may try to go over the fence. But we have officers over there as well, especially closer to the show.
So the crowd will all be on the north side.
The crowd will all be. Yes, they're supposed to be over there. That's where all the activities are.
Okay. Let's hope that works.
I do have a quick question.
Yes.
And maybe it's one for Amy, but when the 4th of July celebration comes along, how close are we on the light walk? Because that would be great to have that almost done, and then the fireworks go off to show off the light walk. Or am I thinking too marketing? I thought it was Anderson. That's what I've
Initially, that was definitely our hope and our focus. The rain has definitely played a factor in that. We're probably about 4 weeks behind because of that. So, no,
okay.
We won't have the light walk available. We're aiming for the Halloween event this year.
We're going to try to make it a well part of taking that event to another level.
Got it. Thanks so much.
It's coming. If the rain would stop, that would help.
Any other questions?
Yes, one more question. I'm sorry, could you say the location of Juneteenth again? What's the name of the park?
Yes, it's at Finch Park.
Finch Park.
Yep.
Thank you.
301 Spanish.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We'll now move to board member and liaison reports. We'll start with board. Just a quick update from me. We have a kind of an impromptu East McKinney Learning Garden work day on Saturday, if anyone's interested, from 9 to noon. Cleaning up, getting rid of some early spring plants that are past their prime, planting about 30 new plants, working on irrigation, and just general cleanup. So the more the merrier. I may even buy you lunch afterwards. We'll see. Any other board comments?
I just have one item that I'll go over in more detail later, but just to have it on everyone's calendar, the 9/11 event. what we usually will do is we'll set up the 3,000 flags the weekend before the event, and then take them down after. And that's at Mitchell Park, right across from Union Bear. And so looking forward to that. And Parks has always cooperated by watering the fields beforehand, the day before. So just wanted to mention that.
Other comments? Move to liaison comments. Let's start with MCDC, Joy.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Hello to some of the newer members I haven't met. I'm Joy Booth. I'm here representing MCDC. And I'll just fill you in on the status of our grant programs. So for promotional and community event grants, that cycle closed at the end of last month. Our meeting is June 26th, and we will hear the presentations. We have a good number of applicants seeking about $100,000 in marketing funds for various events, ranging from the Rotary's Parade of Lights to the many events that the Heritage Guild offers over at Chestnut Square, to Oktoberfest and the Art Club of McKinney, just to name a few. As far as our project grants go, we had two applications during our last cycle there, and we awarded $711,000 in grant funding for two very large projects. One is Direction 613, which is a nonprofit that seeks to place children aging out of foster care into viable careers and to train them for life after their very difficult circumstances. And that is for construction of infrastructure and some public access community event center space that will be north of Irwin Park. Secondly, the Heard Museum upgrades to their trails. As far as our retail development infrastructure grants, the final cycle in that grant program will be open through the end of July. So that is my report. I'll stand for any questions.
How many project grant requests do you typically review?
Grants are pretty light in terms, like relative, say, to the promotional grants. We've had maybe a handful at the most. Sometimes it is just one or two that come through in a cycle.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Okay.
Councilman Cloutier?
A smattering of things. We had our elections, and so we will be swearing in the new mayor, Bill Cox, and the new at-large, Ernest Lynch, this coming Tuesday. Mayor Fuller and Councilman Phillips will participate in the work session and executive session, and then there will be cake in the Fitzhugh Room. Then we will swear those guys in during the regular session. If you look up to your, I guess it's to your left, there's a water tower out there. It's the Chestnut Street Water Tower. It's in disrepair. It has not been used by the city since 1999. We can't use it. It's too low. We were talking a few years ago about tearing it down, but the citizenry came out with pitchforks against us. So we are saving it. Council passed. It's a shocking amount of money, but it's $5 million it took to save that thing. The main problem with it is it has lead paint, which to get that off is a whole big process. So we are going to be scraping off the old paint, putting on the new paint, putting the old city logo on just like it is right now, putting a first-class set of LED lights on it that Andrew Jones can customize as he sees fit with Main Street, so that project is moving forward. Dirt is already flying at TKI. Didn't waste any time with that. So the airport is moving forward. I'm hoping that it will be hosting commercial flights in the third quarter, end of the third quarter of next year, 26. We have not done a groundbreaking ceremony. That will be coming up, but that is not keeping the people who do the job from starting to do the job. Yeah. It'll be next month sometime, Dave, the groundbreaking ceremony at TKI. The other thing on my mind, I was talking to Joy Booth about this before. This isn't a huge thing, but it's interesting to me. At the intersection of Church and Highway 5 to the north of us for as long as I've been in McKinney, and many, many years before that, has been the North Texas Job Corps. Before that, it was a hospital. The VA hospital was around here in around World War II. North Texas Job Corps is closing down. That is a federal government directive. And so in my estimation, it leaves a lot of acreage open, and so the city has an appetite to look at doing something with it, so we're going to be investigating that. But an editorial comment would be that when it comes to training people for trades in a cost-effective way, Collin College does a vastly better job than what the Job Corps did. So not our decision, not our call. We didn't get a vote, but it is what it is. And I shall stand for any additional questions.
I heard there was a group that's threatening to sue about the airport.
There is a group threatening to sue about the airport, and it's not a threat to sue. They have sued. I don't like to talk about pending litigation against the city, but from my conversations with the attorney that we've got and with reading some of the things that the courts are holding, I don't anticipate that is going to provide any kind of meaningful impediment to the development that we're doing. What they're complaining about, and I use complaining in only the most generous terms, just legal terms, is that the environmental assessment wasn't done correctly. We didn't do the environmental assessment. That's done in a prescribed way by the government. It took 2.5 years to do. I suppose that anyone can sue anyone for anything, and this is an example of that.
Quick question for you.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned earlier or a few months ago that you were talking with the other cities about getting involved with the airport. Did anything come out of that?
And if I said that, forgive me, I didn't mean for it to come off that way. What I meant to say was that I had an appetite to get money from an upstream government entity. Now, I don't expect the city of Frisco, and never did, and I'm using them as a placeholder in this, to give us money for the airport. But there are upstream entities like the county, the state, and the federal government that have money to do that. Now, for instance, the county is currently funding $30 million for the 500-foot extension of the runway that we've got going on right now. I never held out a moment of hope that they'd come with any more, and they haven't disappointed me in that. There is the state money and the federal money. I don't have any update for you on that right now, but certainly our staff is doing everything they can to get up to $30 million of state and federal money. And my hope is that we do get some level of clarity on that coming up in the next month or two. You need to hit your microphone button, Mr. Clark.
Thank you. Lower Five Plaza status.
The Lower Five Plaza is the TxDOT funded thing. TxDOT is building a brand new Spur 399 for us on the east side of the airport. I'm going to a groundbreaking on that here coming up. Oh, there's a groundbreaking for Venue on Friday. Forgive me, I meant to mention that, the Notes Live Amphitheater. So that's breaking ground on Friday, and you may have seen construction fencing around their land. The new Spur 399 is going to connect. And so Highway 5 will be coming offline from TxDOT and will be coming a city street. Part of that is the idea for the Lower 5 Plaza. Back in the day, and forgive me if I've said this before, I probably have, but it was $30 million of federal grant money that we got, $15 million to us. Now it's $45 million of federal grant money, nothing to us to do it. The new council is going to take up a vote on whether or not we want to have that. I don't see that on our radar anytime in the next couple months, but I'm happy to report back on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Any other comments? Thanks, sir. I think that concludes. Do we have a motion to adjourn at 5:39 p.m.?
I'll make a motion. Dave Clark, I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Do we have a second?
I'll second the motion.
We have a second from Mohammed Al-Hindi. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. We are adjourned. Thank you.